Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Well, welcome to you guys. Yeah. Welcome, y'all. Y'all. Well, let's just enter a time of prayer real quick. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord. And God, I just ask that you just open our hearts, God, in our ears to hear what you have for us tonight, Father God, and that we just bring everything before you, Father, all that we are, God. All that we are, all that we hope to be, Lord. We just ask that you would be here tonight, God, and examine us, direct us, Father, in your ways. Lord, we just lift these things up unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I am from Texas, and when I was home in Texas, when Matt and I were first married, so it was almost 17, 18 years ago, and we were in Pastor Kirby's church, and there was an elderly couple, and they were in their 80s, and they were called the Happy Hunters. I don't know if anybody, older people, ever heard of them. They had a really big healing ministry in the South. If you hadn't heard of them, they've written a lot of books and stuff, and so they came to our church. And they've been doing ministry for many, many years. And so if you're Pentecostal and in the South, you heard of this couple. They're a beautiful couple. And my husband, it was Charles and Frances Hunter was their name. And he went up to Charles and he said, it's like, man, it was a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Hunter. And thank you for coming. And thank you for ministering with us. And, you know, we just want to thank you for being here. And he said, Mr. Hunter. And he said, if you were talking to Jesus, would you call him Mr. Jesus? And Matt kind of looked at him and he goes, my name's Charles. Just call me Charles. You know, and we're from the South. We say Mr. You know, I mean, we're very respectful, sign of respect. But Charles, Mr. Hunter, I would still call him Mr. Hunter just out of respect. But he was like, please don't call me that. I'm just Charles.
There you go.
I'm just Charles. And I thought it was a beautiful example of humility. Because everyone is looking for their 15 minutes of fame. That's why I said 15 minutes of fame. Are you looking for your 15 minutes of fame? Because it is so prevalent in the world now. And with the onset of the internet, right? Come on, people, look at the YouTubes out there. Everybody's trying to be known. Read my blog, look at my YouTube, look at my Vines, look at this, look at me, look at me, look at me. Selfie, 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 selfie. My favorites are the ones that post a selfie and then scripture. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? I'm sorry if I offend you guys. But everybody's looking for their 15 minutes of it. They want to be known. They want to be known. And see, and it has drastically infiltrated the church. Yeah. Where even these big time pastors that just want to be known.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a ton of pastors that are like, my name is Apostle, Bishop, Doctor, Prophetess.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What do I call you, sir? Omnipotent potentate. What do I call you? You know, and I mean, I've been corrected before trying to talk to somebody and I'm like, my title is prophetess. And I'm like, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Please. Please.
And I'm not, listen, I'm really not trying to offend anybody, but folks, it's not about us.
Right.
See, and we're trying to make, and these people are trying to make themselves known.
Yeah.
Right? We're trying to make ourselves known. People want to make themselves known. Let you in on a little clue. I can't talk tonight. Sorry.
We'll figure it out.
Just figure it out. Like, go along. My brain's somewhere else. My daughter just broke her. I'm not saying she did that. She fell during soccer and her arm is swollen, so she's at the doctor's right now. So anyways, it's the same one that she broke 4 or 5 years ago, same wrist, bone, everything. So anyways, that's where she's at. But we're here. All right. Everybody wants to be known. But you know, if God wants you to be known, he will make you known. If God wants you to be known, you don't have to do anything. You just walk in your walking and God will make you known. He will. He's known for that. So tonight, listen, I'm going to ask you to examine your heart, because this is some scripture that is examining yourself. Okay. So we need to examine our hearts through this. We're going to be in Psalm 131. This is the shortest psalm in the book of Psalms, but it can take years to fully understand and achieve. So turn to Psalm 131 if you have your Bible or your apps, and we're going to be in this tonight. This is David. It's a psalm of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. So let's break this part a little bit, okay? So the first part, King David says, Lord, my heart is not haughty. Now this is a solitary prayer. He is not doing this psalm before people, right? This is something that he is saying to the Lord himself. So this is between David and God, and he says, Lord, my heart is not haughty. My heart is not haughty. So David here, right, he says, as a righteous man, he's making his appeal to the Lord who alone knows his heart. So he's right, he says, my heart is not haughty. He's making an appeal to the Lord who knows his heart, right? So therefore, listen, when we do this, if we're going to bring a prayer like this before God, we better make sure that we have a solid case. Lord, my heart is not haughty. Well, do you have a solid case to bring that before the Lord? Now, what do I mean by that? I watch Forensic Files all the time. I love Forensic Files. There's not a lot on there, but, you know, I majored in biology. I love the forensic stuff. I love DNA. I love all that stuff. It's so cool to me. So I'm watching Forensic Files, and, you know, it just floors me, these people that are like, oh, I'm not guilty, right? This one woman, her husband was this marathon runner, and they find him, and they find tracks, and it leads back to her house, and they said, can we come in and look in your house? And she's like, yeah, come on in. Just take off your shoes. So the investigator takes off her shoes, goes into the bedroom, steps on a wet spot, lifts it up, blood everywhere, blood spatter everywhere, it's his blood, they find this rope and all this sort of stuff, and she goes to court and says, not guilty, and I'm like, you better make sure of your case. Yeah. No, she was found guilty. Like, everything had evidence to prove that she was guilty. And she says, oh, I'm not guilty. What we bring before the Lord, we better make sure of our case. Can we say, Lord, my heart is not haughty? Can we say that? Can you say that? See, David had examined his own heart multiple times. Read the Psalms. He had examined himself, had examined his heart. He had asked the Lord to examine his heart. So when he prays, God, my heart is not haughty, he has a solid case. He's done the hard work. He's examined himself. He's asked the Lord to examine him so he can come before the Lord and say, God, my heart is not haughty. And mean it. And really mean it. David here begins with his heart. It's the center of our nature. And if there's pride there, it defiles everything. It is a great thing for us to know our own heart so as to be able to speak before the Lord about it. You have to know your heart if you're going to speak to God about it. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is beyond all things deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says, but we can know it if we're taught by the Spirit of God. So through the Holy Spirit, we can examine our heart, examine ourselves, and bring it before God and say, God, examine me. So then when you do come before him and say, God, my heart is not haughty. I've done the examination. God, you've examined me. And now I can come before you and say, my heart is not haughty. Are you proud in your opinion of yourself? Think about these things. All right, so we're going to do some examination tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Are you proud of your opinion of yourself? Are you contemptuous to others? Are you self-righteous before the Lord?
Watch out.
Are you boastful of your past, proud of your present, or ambitious for your future? These are things we have to ask ourselves when we examine ourselves. So we can say, God, my heart is not haughty. And he goes on to say, nor my eyes lofty. What does that mean? What the heart desires, the eyes look for. What your heart desires, your eyes will begin to look for.
Yep.
And where the desires run, the glances follow. What a heart desires, we begin to look for. So if your heart desires power, you will start looking for power. If your heart desires control, you will look for control. If your heart desires money, you will begin looking for money. If your heart desires to be seen, you will begin to try to be seen. If your heart desires to be known among men, you will begin to seek to be known among men. Folks, we've got to examine our heart. Out of it come the issues of life. So all the issues of life. So if we're not doing those hard things before God, right? I'm not asking you to stand up here and say, is your heart haughty? Jan, stand up. Is your heart haughty? This is a personal prayer between you and God. It's something personal between you and God that you need to take to him. David felt that he did not seek after elevated places where he might gratify his self-esteem. So he could say that my eyes are not lofty. Neither did he look down upon others as being his inferiors. He didn't. Look at King David's life. He didn't. From the time of a child, he did not look to be elevated. So he could say that. But the world does. That person looking for his 15 minutes does. They're looking to be elevated. I can tell you when I was in high school and when I was in college, I did. Because my whole identity was wrapped up in my grades. And so I sought to be the best in the class. I sought to be the best at my college. Right? I was in an honor society for sorority. Come on. I'm in a book of who's who of colleges of this year because I had a 4.0 in college. Mm-hmm. I sought it though, brother. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to just get good grades so I could get good grades. I was seeking to be elevated. Mm-hmm. I know my heart. I can say that.
Yeah, for sure.
I was seeking to be elevated. Let's be honest with ourselves. Because if you're not going to be honest with yourself, you might as well just walk out right now.
That's it.
We have to be honest with ourselves. Don't walk out, Glenn. I saw that. Proverbs 21:4 says, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. So it says, my eyes are not lofty. I don't have a haughty look. I don't have a proud heart. This is what David said. In Psalm 121, right, David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. And that's the only place that he declares that he looks up. Yeah. He says, I don't have lofty eyes. I don't look anywhere else. He said, I lift my eyes to the hills from where comes my help. Mm-hmm. He knew who he was. He knew where his help come from, right? When the heart is right, the eyes are right, the whole man is on the road to a healthy spiritual condition. It starts with our heart, though. It starts with our heart. Folks, we have to take care that we don't use this language of the psalm unless we are to be true to ourselves. Right? We have to be true to ourselves. There's no worse pride than that which claims humility when it does not possess it. Right? Hopefully that's not my husband texting me. Sorry. We desperately need to be honest with ourselves and with God. Because He knows. We're not fooling God. We might be fooling ourselves. And I've fooled myself lots of times. You know, we can fool ourselves, man. And you can surely fool everybody else. Oh, I'm so humble. Just walking in humility. I'm so humble. Right? We can fool ourselves. We can fool other people real easy. It's easy to fool others. You cannot fool God.
That's right.
We cannot fool God. No way, no how. He knows. He knows. That's why we got to be honest with ourselves and honest with God and actually let Him do that work in us. He says, neither do I exercise myself in great matters. This is David, King David, right? David did not usurp the power of King Saul, nor devise plots against him. Who remembers that story with David and Saul? He never devised plots against him. He never sought to usurp Saul's authority.
Right.
Even though he was already proclaimed king.
Yeah.
Never. He minded his own business. He left others to mind theirs. He didn't pry into things unrevealed. He was not speculative. He was not self-conceited or opinionated. He did not thrust himself into the priesthood as Saul had done before him and Uzziah did after him. He didn't thrust himself into it. We do well to exercise ourselves unto godliness, that we know our boundaries and calling, and then diligently keep to it. Keep your eyes on the Lord and your hands on the plow. Eyes on the Lord, hands on the plow. Eyes on the Lord, hands on the plow. You gotta look around you. You don't have to worry about what others are doing. Right? Now I'm gonna tell myself, now none of y'all were even here, so it doesn't even matter. It was a Wednesday night service back in the day when we had four people and we'd sit around in a Bible study on a Wednesday night. And that was a Wednesday night service. Were you there, Todd? He's all probably not. And we would sit around and Pastor Matt would, you know, do Bible study with us and stuff. And he said, listen, I don't even remember what he said. I just remember what I did. He said something and I was arguing with him in front of the people, right? And I didn't even think anything of it because I was like, I'm right. He's wrong. I'm right.
Of course. Yeah.
You know? And hey, man, you use me as an example of what not to do, okay?
Yeah.
And so I went home and that weekend I was preparing we were doing a women's retreat away to like Ocean Shores or something. We had like 9 women that went to Ocean Shores. We had a few women that went to the peninsula. And so I'm getting together this women thing and it was about women in the Bible, the women in the Bible, right? Miriam and Deborah and all this sort of stuff. And God was like, Crystal, you need to look at Miriam. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I'm putting all this stuff together. And I was like, I don't have time for this. And God's like, no, you need to look at Miriam. And so I begin reading about Miriam and stuff. And all of a sudden there it was. Miriam had tried to usurp Moses' authority. And so because of that, Miriam was stricken with leprosy and put outside the camp. And I was like, I don't want leprosy, Lord. And I repented before God and I was like, that I realized that I had usurped my husband's authority. Matt is a pastor. I am not. And God has called me to do what I'm going to do. But it was really this thing in my, that I was like, man, I better watch my place. I better know my place. And I know my place. I'm not getting leprosy. I'll tell you that much. 1 Thessalonians 4:10 through 12 says, "But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Do not exercise yourself in great matters." Things that you are not called to. Positions you are not called to. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:10 through 12. So I read this quote and I thought it was really great. "Many, through wishing to be great, have failed to be good. They were not content to adorn the lowly stations which the Lord appointed them. And so they have rushed at grandeur and power and have found destruction where they looked for honor."
Ooh, yeah.
Right? David said, neither do I exercise myself in great matters. That's what he's saying. Next thing he says, it's kind of the same thing. "Or in things too high for me. High things may suit others, but they may be quite unsuitable for us." King David said this. King David. His first title is king of all of Israel. King David said this. He said, "I don't exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me." Right? We would do well to know our own size. What do I mean by this? You know, Pastor Matt does a lot of weddings. He's done probably 100 or so weddings, and we go to all the weddings. And, you know, I am not coming as a guest. I'm coming as my husband's wife. I'm coming as a pastor's wife. And every single time I come to a wedding, I will stand in the very back and wait till all the guests are seated. And if there's room, I will slip in and sit down and find a chair. But if not, I'll stand up the whole time. Because I'm not a guest at that wedding. I'm not a guest at that wedding. So I'll just wait. Now that there have been times, you know, at receptions, people have sat us at the head table, which was pretty awesome. You're like, what? We get to sit at the head table? But most of the time, I take the lowest place. I'm not a guest. Romans 12:3, it says, For by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has apportioned to each a degree of faith and a purpose designed for service. Think of ourselves, he says, soberly. He's not talking about your identity in Christ, just so you know, right? He's not talking about our identity in Christ. Ascertain your own capacity. Do not be foolish in aiming for things too high. Take the lower room. Luke 14:8-9 says, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come to say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place." He said, just take the lowest place. And then if need be, they'll call you up higher.
Yes, they will.
That, folks, this is part of humility.
Yeah.
This is part of humility, which is really lacking in this society. And this is what we're called to as people of God. This is so common in the church. It's so common in the church, right? That no one wants to do anything that's beneath them. Well, that's beneath me. I don't want to do that. Pastor Kirby told us one time there was a lady, and she was the biggest tither in the whole church. And Pastor Kirby has he's a military town. He has a small church. He has a huge influx of people that kind of come in and out all the time, you know. And it's at Fort Hood, and so they deploy a lot. When people deploy, his church shrinks mightily, you know. And he said this lady came in, and she was a huge tither, and she told him, she said, you know, Pastor, I'm called to preach, so you need to give me your pulpit. And Pastor said, well, actually, he said, you know, if you want to be using the ministry, why don't you come and clean the church?
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. That's
good. And she said, well, I'm not called to clean the church.
Oh, yeah.
That's beneath me. I'm your biggest tither. Beware that when we long to be everything, we can end up being nothing. Right? King David said, surely I have behaved and quieted myself. Now this, the original of this somewhat bears the form of an oath where he says, I will behave and quiet myself in your presence, right? It's an oath that he's taken here. So he is upon his best behavior. He's smoothed down the roughness of his self-will, and he has mastered his own spirit, so that towards God he is not rebellious, and towards man he is not haughty. It is no easy thing to quiet yourself. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. It's no easy thing to quiet ourselves, so therefore we need to go to the Comforter to quiet us. We need to go to the Comforter to quiet us, right? We are clamorous, contentious, and nothing but the Comforter can make us quiet under afflictions, irritations, and disappointments. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort. He says at once, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, twice, that we may be able to comfort, that's three times, those who are in trouble with the comfort, fourth time, with which we ourselves are comforted, fifth time, by God. In one verse, or is that two? Two verses, five times, he says, comfort. Come to God for comfort, so you may comfort her. The Comforter comforts under your comforter at night while you are comfort. Behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. He has become subdued and content as a child whose weaning is fully accomplished. This is what he's saying. And it goes into this thing of who remembers, if you're a mom, if you remember when you were breastfeeding your child and then you try to wean him. It's not fun, is it? And I was like, how did King David know what weaning was, you know? But obviously he must have watched his wife walk through it. You know, and once the weaning starts place, the battle begins, right? The tantrums and the... Right? I mean, oh my gosh, and some kids, you're just like, holy cow. Can I ever get you off? Please be weaned, please. But yet, over time, they find food and they're like, oh, this is really good. I like this.
Yeah.
As a child who is weaned, they find food, right? And then to that weaned child, his mother now is comfort. Not because of the milk anymore, but because of who she is. Are you seeing a parallel here? To the weaned child, his mother is the comfort, though she has denied him comfort. Hello. It is a mark of growth out of spiritual infancy when we can forego the joys with which appeared to be so essential, and we can find our solace in him who denies them to us. Then we have behaved maturely and every childless complaint is hushed. That's what he's talking about. If the Lord removes our dearest delight, we bow to his will without a murmuring thought. In fact, we find delight in giving up our delight. as a wee child. I remember as just a baby Christian throwing a tantrum all the time when God didn't give me what I wanted. Maybe some of y'all still do that.
Watch out.
Throwing a tantrum, right? Throwing a fit when God doesn't give me what I want. But God, I want that. I'm not weaned yet. I want that. And he says, no. It's not time for that anymore. It's not time for that anymore. And as I matured, I came to be at peace and content when he told me no. And to be able to go to him just for his solace and comfort, not because of what he was giving me. And I began to seek his face and his presence, not his hand. But that takes maturity. That this is no spontaneous fruit of nature. It doesn't just happen overnight, this. Being a wean child that finds comfort. It's a well-tended product of divine grace. It grows out of humility and lowliness. Not loneliness, lowliness. My soul is even as a weaned child. He says, my soul is even as a weaned child, as if a soul leaned upon him own self in mute submission, neither boasting nor complaining. It is not every child of God who arrives at the weaned stage speedily. Right? Some are babies when they ought to be fathers. Others are hard to wean and cry and fight and rage against the heavenly parents' discipline. Huh. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 says, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babies in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still unable, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like a mere man? He said, you're carnal. You still need milk. Hebrews 5:12-13 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, hello. Yeah. You need someone to teach you again the principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So according to these scriptures, we are considered mature when we walk in the spirit and submit to the authority of God's word. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. That's the word of God.
That's the word of God.
So he says, you're still a baby when you're not giving heed to the word of God. You're still a baby when you're not living according to the spirit of God. That's what he's saying. There's still envy, strife, and division among you. Those are carnal things. Those are people walking in their flesh, not walking in the spirit. And he says, you still need milk. And he said, at this time, I need you to be a teacher. I need you to be going out and teaching other people, but you're still on the bottle. Or breast. However you want to look at it. For those that only believe in breastfeeding, you're still on the breast. You know what I love about David is that David loved God's word more than life itself. I love Psalm 119. That's all it's about, is his love for God's word. And in his word, he found life. In his word, he found truth. In his word, he found everything he needed.
Yes, he did.
He found everything he needed in God's word. And so he could say, I am a weaned child. I'm still God's child, but I'm weaned. I don't need that anymore. I'm on to bigger things. Give me a steak and potatoes.
Yeah.
Give me a salad and a side of pie with a scoop of ice cream. Maybe a milkshake for dessert. Babies don't eat like that.
No.
Babies don't eat like that. They get milk. Ugh. I wanted to be on a diet of milk. I had my gallbladder out and had to drink liquids for like a week.
All of that.
I'm like, come on, man. They're giving me these boost things. And I'm like, come on, dog. Can I have a steak or something? Milk. I love Rachel. Be aware that when we think ourselves safely through the weaning, we don't suddenly discover that we're back on milk again. Don't go back to the bottle. Don't go back to that. Praise God for those afflictions which subdue our affections, which wean us from self-sufficiency, which educate us into Christian maturity, which teach us to love God, not merely when he comforts us, but when he does not. That's what he's talking about. We have to love God not only when he comforts us, but even when he tries us. We have to find that place where we're content with God when he doesn't give us what he wants and he says, I want you to want me.
Yeah.
Not what I can give you.
That's right.
I want you to want me. That's a song, right? I want you to want me. I want you to want me. That's what he says. He says, I want you to want me, not what I can give you. He's a blesser, yes. He wants to give you good things, yes. But he wants you to want him alone. Fall in love with him so that when he denies you things, when he tries you, you can still find comfort in being a weaned child. This figure of the weaned child is worthy of admiration and imitation. It is doubly desirable and difficult to attain, but not impossible. King David did it. We got the Holy Spirit. We can do it. It's not impossible. Such weaning from self springs from the gentle humility declared in the verses that we just talked about. The humility. Not esteeming ourselves more than we think. Making sure that we're being motivated by a pure heart. That we do things that are out of a pure heart for God. Not to be known, but to make him known.
Yes,
not to be known, but to make him known. It's not bad to write a blog if your motive is to make him known.
Yes.
It's not bad to do videos if you're trying to make him known. It's good. It needs to get out there. But it has to be from a heart that says, I need to make him known. That's why we've got to evaluate ourselves even more so during this time. Where's it coming from? Am I trying to be known or am I trying to make him known? Because if we're trying to be known, that fruit that's going to be produced is not going to be good. If pride is gone, submission will be sure to follow. And if pride is to be driven out, self must also be vanquished. If pride is going to be driven out, self has to be vanquished. This is why Jesus said, you got to die to yourself. Die to yourself. What does that mean? Die to our ways. Die to our wants. Die to our needs. And rise to what he wants. And you'll find when you begin to do what he wants that it'll start aligning with what we want. We begin to change our focus. We begin to align things with what God wants and we're like, oh, wow, we see ourselves turning towards that. That's what he wants. Submission. And the last part, he says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Hope only in the Lord. He is our only hope. He is our only hope. He says, hope only in the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Hope only in the Lord. That's our only hope.
Our only hope.
Amen? We're gonna pray. There's a beautiful prayer. Just close your eyes. Lord, God, you know our hearts, God. You see our hearts, God. You know what we're gonna do even before we do it. You know what we're gonna say even before we say it, Lord. You know what's in us, God. Make us lowly and keep us lowly, God. Fix us forever in lowliness, God. Not loneliness, God. Lowliness, God. That we know who we are in you, Father, and that's all that matters, God. All that matters is that you call us your own. That you call us your child. That's all that matters, God. It doesn't matter what other men see of us. It doesn't matter what other men call us. It only matters what you call us. Because we are yours, God. Help us to be in such a case that the confession of this verse may come from our lips as a truthful utterance, God, which we dare make before the Creator of all the earth, God. Lord, let this prayer, God, be one that we can make before you, God, and before all the earth, Lord. Father, as we examine ourselves tonight, God, examine us, Father God, that we would be your people, God, that walk in humility, God, that walk in faithfulness, God, that walk with our eyes lifted to you and our hands on the plow, Father, that we don't need to make ourselves known, God. If you want us known, you'll make us known, Father, that we are famous in your eyes, God. We are famous in your eyes, Lord. Let us remember that always, God. We don't need to seek fame anywhere else, God. We don't need 15 minutes of fame. We don't need to seek after that, God. We are famous in your eyes, Lord. Thank you for that, Father. God, I thank you for these people tonight, Lord. I thank you for this word, God. Lord, I thank you for those watching tonight, Father. And I pray that they receive this word as well, Father, and walk through this with us, God. Lord, I ask that you heal my daughter, Father, that you heal her bone, Father, in Jesus' name. God, and we ask that you bring us back here safely on Sunday, God. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the praise and glory and honor that's due into your name, God. As a weaned child, Father, we will be content in your arms, God. We will be content in your presence. We will be content with what you give us, God. Father, we just lift these things up unto you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
It's not? Oh, praise God. Oh.